الحمد لله على حلمه بعد حلمه وعلى عفوه بعد قدرته، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه وأعد لهم جنات تجري تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا، صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders and brothers, from time to time in our Jummah khutbas, we speak about different personalities. And normally, we speak, when we discuss those personalities, we speak about some of the Sahaba Ikram, Ridwanullahi ta'ala anhum ajma'in, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the ayat which I have recited, has made them the barrier, not the barrier, the criteria for good, by saying those who were in the vanguard among the muhajireen and the ansar, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ, and those who follow them in goodness. So Allah has told us to follow them. And Allah had said, رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه. Allah is happy with them till the day of judgment. So this is a very mubarak and a blessed group of people who are the criteria for good. And by following them, the way Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us, that they are like stars. Each and every Sahabi is like a star in terms of his guidance. And today the Sahabi that I would like to speak on is a very eminent and a very great Sahabi. And his name is Zubair ibn Awam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Zubair ibn Awam was very closely related to our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was from among the Quraysh. Sahaba ke baare mein Allah ta'ala ne hame Quran mein bataya hai کہ وہ راہ راست پر ہے، اور اللہ تعالیٰ نے ان کی تعریف کی ہے، اور اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ نے یہ بھی کہا ہے کہ ان کے نقش قدم پر آپ بھی چلے، آپ بھی راہ راست پر ہو گئے. اللہ تعالیٰ سیز دیٹ برنگ ایمان، ایسے ایمان لاؤ جیسے صحابہ ایمان لے آئے. اور آج ایک صحابی کے بارے ہم تذکرہ کر رہے ہیں، حضرت زبیر ابن عوام رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ. واز اے قریشی، ہی واز دا پٹرنل کزن آف نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. His mother was Safiya bint Abdul Muttalib, who was the aunt, the what we will say poopy, ya foy, ya the paternal aunt of our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the father's sister. This was from which background he came from, that his mother was the paternal aunt of our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And from his very young age, he was inclined towards righteousness. And at the young age of 15, he accepted Islam. According to some narrations, he was a fifth or the sixth person to accept Islam. So he was amongst those who were right in the forefront of accepting Islam. And those who accepted Islam in the early stages, they have even a greater rank amongst the Sahaba compared to those who brought Iman later on. And he was amongst those who was, according to Sayyid ibn Musayyib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the eminent tabi'i, who says, the first person to unsheath a sword for the sake of Islam was Zubair ibn Awam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And he was early teens. And one day, the news spread in Makkah Mukarramah that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had been attacked, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had been harmed. So he took out his sword and he ran out of his home to go and do something about it. And he came to know that it was false. And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, you are young, early, late teens. What would you have done? And he said, Ya Rasulullah, if I knew that they would harm you, and if I come to know there was a truth, I wouldn't have worried. I would have gone to war with the entire Makkah, irrespective of what happened to me. So the first person to unsheath his sword for the sake of Islam was Zubair ibn Awam. Now this was to be one of his hallmarks and characteristics. His bravery and courage in the battlefields. Zubair ibn Awam radiallahu anhu was known for certain traits, and one of his traits was his bravery. In the Battle of Badr, he was a young Sahabi at that time, or maybe before the Battle of Badr, he migrated to Abyssinia because of the persecution of the people of Makkah. And when he was in Abyssinia, a very great lesson for all of us, a news came that Najashi, who was a just ruler, he was going to war with another ruler. Both were non-Muslims at that time. But the Sahaba were worried that Najashi must not lose, because Najashi was a just ruler. So they sent Zubair ibn Awam radiallahu ta'ala anhu to go and see the outcome of the battle. And mention is made that he had to cross a path of water, you know, whether it be the Nile or whatever it was, because to see what was happening in that battle. So Zubair ibn Awam, they put a rubber around him. So this particular aspect of using a tube to swim was very famous that time. So they put a tube around him, rubber around him. He swam to go and see what was happening in that battle. And he came back and he told the Sahaba, "Bear glad tidings. Allah has granted Najashi victory." Now what you learn from here? That even amongst non-Muslims, there are people who are closer towards justice. There is nothing wrong for Muslims to side with them. Amongst non-Muslims, there will be people who will be more closer towards justice compared to others. Now here, the Sahaba were wishing for the victory of Najashi, who was a non-Muslim. But because he was just, they were making dua that he must gain victory. Look at, you understand what the importance of justice is. This was Zubair ibn Awam. He came back to Makkah Mukarramah, and then he migrated. When they migrated to Medina Munawwara, the Jews of Medina started saying, because initially the people who migrated from Makkah, there was no birth that took place amongst them. So the people of Medina told them that there is a curse upon you, that you will not get any children here. And then amongst the first male child to be born to the Muhajirin was from Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu's family. His wife was whom? Asma binte Abi Bakr, the daughter of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. What an amazing, great genealogy and lineage and background he has. His father-in-law, his cousin Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, father-in-law Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So when Abdullah bin Zubair got born, there was takbir amongst the people of the Makkah. On what basis? That year, what the people had said, that you are not going to gain children, Allah Ta'ala had granted us Abdullah bin Zubair. So Zubair bin Awam was amongst those people. Then in the Battle of Badr, he took part. And he wore a yellow turban. He wore a yellow turban. To wear different types of turban, the Sahaba did. So there's nothing wrong in wearing different colors of turban. So Hazrat Zubair ibn Awam radiallahu ta'ala wore a yellow turban in the Battle of Badr to fight. And thereafter, look at the honor Allah Ta'ala had granted him. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to the Quranic ayat, when Allah Ta'ala sent the angels to fight on behalf of the Muslims. وَلَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِبَدْرِ وَأَنْتُمْ أَذِلَّةٌ إِذْ تَقُولُ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَلَيَّكْفِيَكُمْ أَنْ يُمِدَّكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ بِثَلَاثَةِ آلَافٍ مِّنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مُسَوِّمِينَ. Allah sent 3,000 malaika to fight in the Battle of Badr. They all wore yellow turbans. They wore yellow turbans to fight on behalf of the Muslims. Then in the Battle of Uhud, another incident happened that Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam took out his sword and said, "Who will fight with my sword? But one of the things for you to fight with my sword is you have to fulfill the rights of my sword." So some of the Sahaba said, "Ya Rasulullah, what is the rights of the sword?" "You will fight solely for the sake of Allah. You won't fight for your bravery. You will fight with certain ethics." And various Sahaba put up their hand and said, "Ya Rasulullah, give us your sword." One of them was Zubair ibn Awam. But Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave it to Abu Dujana. Abu Dujana took the sword of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Zubair ibn Awam radiallahu anhu said, "I wanted to see why did Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam give his sword to Abu Dujana instead of me. I'm the cousin." So he said, "I went after him and I realized why Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the sword to Abu Dujana. He was so brave in the battlefield. Whoever he came across, he was able to overcome them." Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Zubair and Abu Dujana used to walk with a certain gait. They used to walk with a certain attitude in the battlefield. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "In normal circumstances, this particular gait and this way you are walking is not loved by Allah. But because it is in a battlefield, it is done for the sake of Allah. Allah loves it. Allah loves it." And he said, I followed Abu Dujana. And Abu Dujana took the sword. Once he came past Hind. Hind was who? The wife of Abu Sufyan, who was the leader of the Quraysh at that time. He said, I took out my sword, was about to strike her. I saw it was a woman. I pulled it back. As Zubair said, I asked Abu Dujana, why didn't you finish her off? He said, the sword of Nabi Karim Sallallahu is not worthy of killing a woman. Not worthy of killing a woman in the battlefield. So Abu Dujana was given this. And in this particular battle, Zubair ibn Awam radiallahu ta'anhu played a very decisive role. Aisha radiallahu ta'anhu used to tell her family members, الَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِلَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَصَابَهُمُ الْقَرْهُ, that after the battle of Uhud, although the Sahaba were greatly wounded, at that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them that the Quraysh want to come back to finish you off. Get ready for another war. 70 Sahaba got ready. And amongst them was Abu Bakr and Zubair. So Aisha radiallahu anhu used to tell her family members that take glad tidings that in this ayat, our family members are mentioned. And one of them was Zubair radiallahu anhu, and one of them was Abu Bakr, her father. And then he continued in this vein. And one of the great things that happened to him was in the Battle of Trench. Brothers, you have to hear this. Hazrat Zubair radiallahu anhu was in the Battle of Trench. It was a very trying time for the Muslims. One hand, they had to face the allies. On the other hand, the Bani Qurayza, the Jewish tribe, who had conspired with the allies to try and harm the Muslims. So the Muslims were in the middle, caught between the allies on one side and the Jewish tribe from inside Medina. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, who will go and give me the report of what the Jewish tribe of Bani Qurayza are doing? So Zubair radiallahu anhu volunteered. So when he volunteered, he came back and he gave a report. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave him glad tidings. Two things Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. That when he came back and he said, Ya Rasulullah, this is what they are doing. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Fidaka abi wa ummi. May my parents be sacrificed for you. How fortunate were the Sahaba that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells them, may my parents be sacrificed. And then he said one thing, Likulli ummati hawari wa hawari az-Zubair. Each and every ummati has a special helper, a special disciple. And that person in my ummat is Zubair ibn Awam. Disciple, we say Hawari, Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam ki Hawari ke baare hum baat karte hain, that he had his disciple, he has his close companions. Close companions means those who help the cause. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, in tansurullaha yansurkum. If you help the cause of Allah, Allah will help you. And this was Zubair ibn Awam. He helped the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at such a time. He was amongst those who went to go in different difficult situations, go and find out with regard to what's happening. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave him two glad tidings, Fidaka abi wa ummi. And then Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, what an amazing thing. Each and every ummati has a special helper. And in this ummat, it is Zubair ibn Awam radiallahu anhu. He also took part in Fatah Makkah. And he actually, at the time of Fatah Makkah, he was in charge and he was the general of one of the flanks that went into Makkah to gain victory for the Muslims. And he was amongst those who took part in the Battle of Badr and who was also part of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah and being part of the glad tidings about which Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, لَيَدْخُلَ النَّارَ رَجُلٌ شَهِدَ بَدْرًا أَوِ الْهُدَيْبِيَةَ. A person who either took part in Badr or was part of the Bayt-e Ridwan in Hudaybiyah will not enter Jahannam. They will definitely go to Jannat. Zubair ibn Awam radiallahu anhu was amongst those. Then he was, as I said, he was known for his bravery, not only in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, beyond that also. So in Yarmouk, which was a very decisive battle against the Romans, Zubair ibn Awam radiallahu anhu was in the midst of it. So once some of the people told him, let us go and fight against the Romans, and you be the head of it. And he said, I will be the head. I will go and fight against you, but will you stay with me? They said, yes. He said, let us see. And Zubair ibn Awam radiallahu anhu took about 40 of them and went right into the midst of the Romans. And he came right through on the other side, piercing their ranks. And when he looked around, there was no one who was with him. He went through the ranks of the Romans on his own. And that is why he was known for his bravery. In the Battle of Badr, there was a person by the name of Dhat al-Kabash. He was so well armed, other than the two very narrow slits of his eyes, nothing could be seen. He was completely covered in iron and in armor. and Zubair ibn Awam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu with such decisiveness and with such bravery and with such strength pierced that particular portion, that small slit, in such a way that the sword went right through and came out on the other side. And then when in the battle, when the Muslims were fighting against the Egyptians and they were short of number, so they wrote to Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala, we need reinforcements. So Umar radiyallahu ta'ala sent them only 4,000 people that you could gather. But what an amazing thing he said, I'm sending 4,000 people, but they are being headed by four Sahaba. And one of them is Zubair ibn Awam, one is Ubadah ibn Samit, who is buried on one of the doors of Masjid Al-Aqsa, one is Maslama bin Makhlad, and one is Miqdad ibn Aswad. And each one of them is equivalent to 1,000 warriors. Which one of them, I'm sending you 4,000, four of them are such, they are in charge of the entire army. But each and every one of them in a battlefield is equivalent to 1,000. Zubair ibn Awam radiallahu ta'ala was amongst those. Amongst his qualities before we go towards the end of his life was that he was very, very generous. Zubair was known for his generosity. Seven of the major Sahaba, including Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Hudhayfa ibn Yaman, they made him the custodians of their children if anything happened to them and after they pass away. This was because of his generosity. I just look at this, brothers. We need to take lessons. I'm not only speaking about his greatness. How many people today would look after the children of another person? How many people? But here, because they know that this person is known for his generosity, Sahaba used to leave him as a guardian. If anything happened to us, you look after our children. You know, this was the beauty of Islam. Before Islam, the people used to bury their daughters alive. And then after the conquest of Makkah, there was a daughter of Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anha. The daughter of Hamza radiallahu ta'ala remained behind in Makkah Mukarramah. He passed away in Uhud. Three Sahaba fought to look after the daughter of Hamza. This is what Islam brings about. That there was a time when you used to bury your daughters alive. Now there is a time when Sahaba are fighting to look after the daughter, not of their own, but the daughter of someone else. This is the beauty of Islamic akhlaq that we have to learn from the Sahaba ikram, Ridwanullahi ta'ala ajma'in. He was known for his generosity. And then afterwards, he continued in this vein until a very tragic situation appeared. And one of the great, you know, when we speak about history, when we speak about the good aspects, we sometimes also have to confront the unpleasant aspects of our history. And one of the unpleasant aspects of history has been not when right fights wrong. When right fights wrong, that is normal, is going to happen. قُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. That right fighting wrong has always been the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. حق اور باطل کا کشمکش ہمیشہ سے رہا ہے اور رہے گا قیامت تک. But the tragedy of history is when truth fights truth. The tragedy is not when truth fights falsehood. That is going to happen. But the tragedy of history is when truth fights truth. And this has happened. It has happened in our history. It has continues to be happening. And one of the aspects was after the martyrdom and the assassination and the killing and being the martyrdom of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, it was a very trying time upon the Sahaba. Sahaba found it very difficult. On one hand was Uthman al-Ghani, who was in charge of an entire empire. Few rebels came into Medina al-Munawwara. He could have dealt with them the way he wanted because he had the power. He had the power to rule over the Persian and Roman Empire. But because he had heard from Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said, once blood is spilt amongst the Ummah, it will remain like that till the day of judgment. And once there is disunity in the ranks of the Ummah, that disunity will remain till the day of Qiyamah. So he did not want to be the one to spill blood. And he used to say, and when people used to say, we will bring an army that will protect you, he used to say, I don't want Muslims to be a shield for me. I will be a shield for them. Let me die, but don't let the Muslims die. And he was martyred, despite the fact that he was a ruler of the Roman and Persian Empire at that time. So when he was martyred, it had a very great impact upon the Sahaba. So some of the Sahaba, because the killers of Uthman had amalgamated themselves into the main body of the Muslims and was Ali radiallahu anhu. So they went and they said that, no, we have to take revenge against them. So some of them, Talha and Zubair and Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, were in Hajj. From Hajj they went to Basra. They collected an army to put pressure upon Ali radiallahu anhu that he must take immediate action against the killers of Uthman. Ali radiallahu anhu had been appointed the Khalifa. As a Khalifa, he needed discipline and he needed the allegiance of all the Muslims. So he went to go and meet them in Basra. Initially he said that, I'm going to meet them with the intention of gaining peace. Hassan ibn Ali, his son, said, oh my father, don't go. Oh my father, don't go. I just fear something. I have an apprehension that something good is not going to come out of this. And he said, no, I'm the Khalifa. I have to take this responsibility. When they went there, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu said, Ka'ka ibn Amr radiallahu anhu, to go and speak to Talha bin Zubair. And then he came to them and said, Ali radiallahu anhu also wants to take action against the people who have harmed Uthman radiallahu anhu. He is the greatest believer at that time. He also wants to take action, but give him time to bring control. Bring him time to bring stability. You cannot bring justice into a world when there is chaos. In chaos, whenever there is chaos, remember the people who are evil, they are the ones who benefit from the chaos. Let Ali radiallahu anhu bring calm and stability, then inshallah, he will take action against the people who have harmed Uthman radiallahu anhu. Talha and Zubair and Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anhu heaved a great sigh of relief and said, Alhamdulillah, that's exactly what we want. And they both went into their camps thinking, Alhamdulillah, there is peace. But the next day, how could this, the people who had killed Uthman radiallahu anhu, they realize if this is going to happen, if there is no war, there is no chaos, they are going to benefit. So what they did, a portion of them went to attack the army of Ali radiallahu anhu. Another portion of them went to attack the army of Hazrat Aisha, Hazrat Talha, and Zubair radiallahu anhu. And in this particular way, despite the fact that they had gone to bring about reconciliation, to address a difficult situation, it ended up in a war between Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi ta'ala wajma'in, which was done and it was instigated by the munafiqs and the hypocrites. We learn also many things. One of the things that we learn from here is that many a times you can start something with sincerity, but you don't know what is going to be the end result. So sometimes when you start off something, also look at the conclusion. What's going to happen? Because sometimes you might feel I'm acting against something that is wrong, but you might end up making it even more worse. And also remember, don't ever create a situation where enemies can take advantage of your situation. Never allow a situation to happen where enemies can take advantage of your situation. Zubair radiallahu anhu, when they saw the fighting, they were so taken aback. Aisha radiallahu anhu used to cry and said, I went there with the intention of bringing about sulah and reconciliation amongst the Muslims. I never ever thought that the Muslims will fight against one another. And that also Sahaba Ikram, Ridwanullahi tamajma'in, she used to cry. Zubair ibn Awam, he was reminded that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day told him that you will fight with Ali radiallahu anhu, but Ali radiallahu anhu will be more closer to the truth. He withdrew. He withdrew from there and he went and ran away from the battlefield. And on his way, there was a person by the name of Amr bin Jarmuz who went with him. And while he was reading Salat, he cut off his head. And thinking that Ali radiallahu anhu had fought against Zubair, he will be happy to get his head. He went to present his head to Ali radiallahu anhu. And when he presented the head to Ali, Ali started crying. He took the sword of Zubair and said, this sword used to fight against the enemies of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today, I have to be amongst those to see the sword of Zubair ibn Awam radiallahu anhu in front of me, the head of Ali in front of me. And he said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day told me, oh Ali, a day will come when someone will come and tell you that he killed Zubair. Then give that person the tidings of Jahannam. Go, Jahannam is destined for you. And remember, although they came into a situation which was instigated by the munafiqeen. Jami al-Tirmidhi makes mention of a hadith that Nabi Karim sallallahu was once on the Mount of Hira when there were six Sahaba, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, and amongst them was Abu Bakr was not amongst them. Oh, he was. And then Talha and Zubair and Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when he started rumbling, he said, be quiet, be stable. On you is a Siddiq and there are five shaheeds. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarded all of them as shaheed. Even if Zubair ibn Awam radiallahu anhu and Talha bin Ubaidullah lost their lives in what we will call a fight which was between Muslims. But the niyat was correct. It was because of the instigation of the Munafiqs and the hypocrites. And thus Zubair ibn Awam radiallahu anhu lost his life in the battle of the Camel. But he remains amongst those whom Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given glad tidings of Jannah. His life is an exemplary life. If you read the life of his, you know, two sons, and he used to keep the names of his sons upon the name of the people who had lost their lives and sacrificed their life in the path of Almighty Allah. So he kept his son's name Abdullah bin Zubair, and the name of Abdullah bin Jahash, who was martyred in the Battle of Uhud. Urwa bin Zubair, very great people. If you read their life, it's absolutely astounding. And Urwa bin Zubair, he kept it under the name of Urwa bin Mas'ud, who was martyred in the Battle of Hunain. So in this way, he had remarkable sons. His life is so exemplary. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him the greatest rank in Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate his status. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq of being able to follow in the good steps of not only him, all the Sahaba ikram, ridwanullahi ta'ala majma'in, wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillah.